Okay, my name is Chris Ward. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. Glad to see a full house in here tonight. Real quick, everybody who volunteered to help put this thing together, would you please stand up for me? Please, everybody to help volunteer. Come on. Whoever was supposed to be in charge of getting the microphone, though, dropped the ball. George. I told the speaker tonight, I laid down the ground rules for him on this talk. I said there's only two things he's got to do. One is to tell the truth to the best of his ability. And number two is to make sure he finishes on time. I said, if you can't do both of those, at least make sure you finish on time. Yeah, he over here laughing. He thinks I'm kidding. But anyway, I met Rick a couple years ago now. He came up and spoke at one of the Roundup Fellowship events that go on throughout the year to help to get the word out about the Roundup. And his story struck a chord deep inside of me, and we struck up a friendship. I know you're going to enjoy it and get as much out of it as I did. And he spoke in Mobile last night, drove back home to Fairhope, and drove all the way out here this morning. Did a workshop for us out at We're Not a Glum Lot for 3 hours this afternoon. So I hope he doesn't run out of gas behind the podium. And with that, I'll give you Rick McCoy.
He just told me I could go over. I want to thank George for the microphone. Yeah. Been speaking all day. I'm a little hoarse. No microphone. That's Alcoholics Anonymous in it. We don't care, though, do we? I hear that young lady share about the promises. I cry tears of joy every day, too. Greatest life I've ever known in recovery. It's one. Where's the new? I'm glad you're here. Welcome home. Welcome home. So my name is Rick McCoy. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Through the grace of God and a commitment to Alcoholics Anonymous, most fascinating program I've ever known, program of action, with good sponsorship and people I love the most, which are drunks. And working these steps and transforming and cleaning up all the wreckage of my past and getting away from my guilty conscience. I ain't had to drink. I don't have to take pills. I don't have to chase doctors. I don't have to get another diagnosis or another misdiagnosis. And I have been clean and sober since October 24th of 1988. Yep. That's good. I want to say hello to our signing lady here. How you doing, signing lady? Love y'all, too. God bless you, man. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. A lot of you here I know. I mean, if you look around this room, it's pretty amazing to be here on Saturday night, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. If you're an alcoholic, I pray that God has revealed what's wrong with you. I didn't know what was wrong with me, did you? I didn't know. I thought I was crazy. I thought I had an Ativan deficiency. You know? I thought I was nervous. I thought I was a paranoid schizophrenic. And I didn't know what it was. I went all over. I chased people. I used to go to people in whom the problem was not solved. And I would go in there and just lie and pay them money. But you know, I went to see psychiatrists, didn't you? God, I love them. They love us too, don't they, George? Yeah. I had a psychiatrist one time. He said, "What's your drug of choice?" I said, "What you got?" You know, I'm taking. I'm available. And he diagnosed me with all this stuff, and I had all these symptoms and everything. I didn't know. I said, "You know, Doc, I'm suffering from alcoholism." I didn't know what it was. But I'm going to tell you, he told me something that still to this day brings tears to my eyes. He said, "You are going to need pills the rest of your life. God, I hugged him. Love him. Love him. Went home, told my wife, good news. Good news. So what happened to me this week? I shared with Chris and some of the people in recovery. This week, we had a kid. He was 21 years old. And he was an alcoholic. He didn't know it. And he was on full scholarship. He went to Southern Mississippi. And he was in a fraternity, Pi Kappa Phi. And his mom, his best friend's mom's in our group. And they went down to New Orleans to have a good time and party. Remember that? Let's go party. And he got whacked out. You remember getting whacked out? I cannot believe I'm here, can you? I can't believe I'm not in jail. Or dead. It's unbelievable. What a privilege to be out of that hellhole. And so the kid kept hitting the window. Kept hitting the window 11 stories up. And he hit that window and he fell 11 stories to his death. And he met God Almighty drunk. That happened this weekend. And they said his mother still hasn't talked. Isn't that unbelievable? The grace of God, man. I had so much fun in AA, but I know I'm on borrowed time. How'd I know? I did an inventory of my life. If you will discover a loving, gracious, forgiving God, do an inventory. And so that's a heartbreak, isn't it? And then 3 days ago, this guy I sponsored for 8 years. You know, people all the time say, my God, man, you sponsor a lot of people. How many people you sponsor? I always tell them half of them. You know, they won't do it, will they, Joel? I'll beg them, you know. But I love this guy, and he just got convicted. And he's going to spend 225 years in prison. I'm going to tell you something. And he's been sober. You see, Alcoholics Anonymous is not a not drinking program, is it? The whole program, if you really want to know what Alcoholics Anonymous is, it's step 8. We trust God and we must, M-U-S-T, clean up all the wreckage of our past where goodness can come in and get right with our fellows. We get right with our fellows, we get right with God. We get right with God, we get right with ourselves. But I have a lot of sadness for that, you know. His kids call me. Can you imagine? I go to the Babynet jail. Any of y'all go to jails? Y'all need to go to jail. If you ever had a bad day, go to jail. You know, tell them you burnt your steak, you know. You need some gas in your car. You have it rough. So anyway, I go to jail because I want to carry this amazing message. We have great news here, don't we? And I'm telling you, it'd be the greatest year of your life. It'd be a rocket ride if you make a commitment to Alcoholics Anonymous. And you find somebody in whom the problem's been solved. And the evidence, what you want to look for, is happy, joyous, and free. And so I go to that jail to carry the message, and the guys walk in, and they got shackles on. Kind of brought back memories when I was on Thorazine. Any of y'all ever been on Thorazine? God, you can't even run on Thorazine. You know what I'm saying? Terrible. So I went up and told Captain Bennett, I said, God, we have an AA meeting, Captain Bennett. I said, could you take the shackles off my alcoholic buddies? He looked right at me in the eye and he said, I can't, they're criminals. Isn't that amazing? You see, the big book says, tell the newcomer, disturb them. They got to know that you have the most amazing disease. It ain't a weakness. It ain't a character defect. It's the most amazing disease, an age-old riddle in the history of mankind. Our disease annihilates all things worthwhile. And it's unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you something. When you walk in Alcoholics Anonymous, you have had a bad year. We know that, don't we? And so last night I was able to share at Eddie's 10-year anniversary. He had a decade of recovery. And a lot of you know Eddie. He spoke up at the Fifth Tradition Group, and I've been with him for a long time. And Eddie was homeless on the streets of Atlanta for 2 years. And now he's in recovery for a decade. So we get tragedies and we get miracles You know, yeah, you get to see it all. So last night I shared and drove home, got home about 10:30, and went down to Gulf Shores and got up 4 o'clock this morning, meditated a little bit, drove all the way up here, did a 12-step workshop, you know, for 3 hours. Went home, won't take a nap. Chris wouldn't let me. Called me. So I come up here and I get to share tonight. Now, that's pretty unbelievable for a guy that's 40 years old, isn't it? Yeah. That's a test right there, George. You know, some of them antidepressants. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, guy used to pee in the bed. I couldn't do nothing, man. I had no energy. I used to tell everybody, God Almighty, man, I'm depressed. I ain't got no energy. I come to AA, I find out I stoned. You know, I'm a recovering drooler. Huh? You take all them pills I take, you'll drool. And I'm also a recovering yawner. And I like being alive. So I stand here tonight, my mother died drunk. Boy, bless me. I mean, she was a beautiful woman, voted the prettiest mom in high school. And it's so amazing about Alcoholics Anonymous. My mother hated alcohol, and she was an Al-Anon and never took a drink because she was 35 years old. And you know, it's not how long you drank, it's not what you drank, where you drank, how often you drank, how much you drank makes you an alcoholic. It's what it does to you that makes you an alcoholic. You be an alcoholic at 9 years old. Youngest kid I've ever sponsored in AA was 9 years old. Yeah? He came in, his grandfather brought him in. I couldn't believe it. He comes up to me and he looks at me and I was cheering to me. He said, I'd like to talk to you. I said, I. He said, I just want you to know I'm not an alcoholic. I said, well, that's fine. We don't care. You know, come. Maybe you'll discover. Maybe you'll catch it. You know? A lot of people don't know, do they? They'll catch it. And he looked right at me. He said, I'll tell you another thing. I'm not a drug addict. I said, really? I said, what are you? He said, I'm a huffer. He said, a huffer. And he looked right at me. 9 years old, his granddaddy brought him to a meeting. He said, you a huffer? I said, no, I ain't a huffer. I said, I'm an alcoholic. He said, you sure you're not a huffer? I said, no. He said, you ever huffed any gasoline? I said, oh, yeah. He said, you ever huffed any airplane glue? I said, oh, yeah. He said, you a huffer. So I asked that kid to sponsor me. So all we do in AA is love each other. You know, what comes from the heart reaches the heart. What comes from the head goes right over the head. It's a program of the heart. It's based on love. And that's why I responded to it. The oldest guy I've ever seen in AA was 92 years old. I did not sponsor him, but he came in and I kind of shared. Well, I love sharing with newcomers, don't you, Joe? I want to find out all about them, man. And it makes AA exciting. We need the newcomers. It's the lifeblood. And every time their lights come on, it just reinforces the miraculous experience of God in AA in this program. So I went up to the guy and he told me he was 92 years old. I said, 92 years old? He said, yes, yeah. I want to tell you something. I won't alarm you, but you better hurry up and get on those steps, man. I'm telling you, don't waste time. So he never came back, but you know, I loved him. And so my poor mom developed alcoholism, and Bill Wilson, when he wrote the book, he didn't know it. You know, there's a chapter in there. Everything's in that book. It's unbelievable that women develop alcoholism within a few years. And my mother, she took that drink for the fact, and it hit her, and she was on her way. And it was a bitter, bitter end. My poor mom went to treatment 3 times, and I have 4 boys, and my mother never rocked a baby of mine and never changed a diaper of any of my kids in this sedating, sleeping, comatose disease. Isn't it great to be conscious? Isn't it great to be awake? You know, alcoholics and drug addicts live way down here in consciousness. You know, you'll say something to them, they go, what? What? And so in AA, we elevate, don't we? We elevate. We get conscious. Entirely abstinence. alcohol in any form, and we get conscious, it's the foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then we elevate to our subconscious, and it gets in touch with you, don't you? In Alcoholics Anonymous, we make progress, and we elevate, and we have, and we must deal with our guilty conscience. The greatest sleeping pill on this earth is a clear conscience. And if you have a burdened conscience, you must unconscious. You've always got to sedate. And that is our job to deal with that. And when I got here, I was a burdened soul, and I regretted my past. I had so many regrets. And I never thought God Himself would forgive me. Never. And I have never asked for it. But I have experienced it as a result of doing this work here. And then in the 11th step, we even go higher. And our intention and our motivation in prayer and meditation is to improve our conscious contact with God. Have you ever meditated and prayed and cried? You know, isn't it a gift to be aware and conscious? I had a guy the other day told me he was intellectual. I told him, I said, I didn't know that. You know, I would rather instead of being an intellectual, I don't know how you measure it, I guess men's or whatever. I would rather have a higher consciousness, wouldn't you? A clear consciousness. That's what AA gives us. And so my mother tried everything, and she died in an alcoholic coma, and I combed her hair. She was singing hymnals, and she died, and she met God drunk in an alcoholic coma for 30 days. My poor mom, they had her funeral, and I don't tell anybody else this, but I tell you, they wasn't one tear shed at her funeral. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? You know, I didn't want to do that. And I'm not better than my mom. I love my mom. You know, if you read to the wives in there, there's a sentence in there that says, you know, God Himself, be easy with that alcoholic if you can. Because God Himself has either removed his alcoholism or he hasn't. That's profound, isn't it? Why did he remove ours? I'll tell you why. To serve God and to help others and to help our families. And that's what I try to do. I finally discovered my role in life. God assigned it to the extent that I do Alcoholics Anonymous, which is an amazing life, which I love so much to give back. To the extent that I give all this, God a match. All that calamity, you remember that? With serenity. And that's good news for a low bottom drunk. So I stand here, and my father died drunk, and I love my father. He was a highly successful businessman at one time. But this disease will take you places unimaginable, won't it? And I used to tell everybody, I'll never be like my father. Matter of fact, I told my daddy one time, I said, you know what? I think I drank because of you. You know what he told me? He said, I think I drank because of you. And he tried everything, and he tried pills, and he switched, and you know, all the stuff that we do in that vicious cycle of stoneness, sedation, and drug addiction, and alcoholism. And I love my father, and he died all alone. And there wasn't one tear shed at his funeral. And I get to come here and share with you. So I stand here tonight, my brother died drunk. And he met God drunk. Can you imagine meeting God drunk? I won't do that. I tell people all the time, I was at a 12-step workshop. Here's the greatest promise. You can either do your fifth step here, which is a lot easier, and we'll show you how. Or you can do it when you die. And I'd rather do it here, wouldn't you? And so my brother was grilling steaks and smoking some of that non-habit-forming marijuana. You know, you can't get hooked on it, can you? You know how you can tell anybody smoking marijuana? They say, dude, a lot. Sometimes they use it four times in the same sentence, aren't they? Dude. You know how you can tell if anybody says, what's up, dog? What are they doing? Crack cocaine? Y'all know the difference between an alcoholic and a crackhead? And I love crackheads. An alcoholic will steal your jewelry, pawn it off, drink all night, come back and beg you for forgiveness. A crackhead steal all your jewelry, smoke crack all night, come back and help you look for it. I don't care what you did. I did it all too, man. Yeah. We love each other. Don't matter. So I never knew what was wrong with me either. I had this amazing disease, and my brother, because of alcoholism and my family, he never got to see his little kid grow up. And I get to come here with you. I started drinking at age 9. I blew 9 years of sobriety. Didn't even think about it. Didn't even think about calling my sponsor, you know? And I drank White Lightning. Any of y'all ever drink White Lightning? God, isn't that great? Love White Lightning. Like drinking gasoline, isn't it? And so what I did, I threw up, got so sick, man, I peed on myself, and I woke up naked in the bushes. Have you ever woke up naked in the right place? No. And I remember thinking, God, that's fun. You know, I got to do that again. And I was on my way. I ain't drank every day. Didn't know what it was. And at the time, I was a pretty good athlete. You know, the older I get, the better I was, all right? And I was trying to get out of that alcoholic home. Hey, don't leave, man. Hey, it gets worse. So I was trying to get out of that alcoholic home. Any of y'all grew up in alcoholism? It's crazy, isn't it? I used to go in there and listen for alcoholism. You know what it sounds like, don't it? If I heard broken glass or anybody hollering, I went straight out. Where are you going, Chris? Huh?
Drink water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I just never knew what it was. I kept saying, God, I wanted that crazy house. I hated that house, man. It was a zoo, man. And now I didn't know. At the time, I didn't know what it was. And so my way... what's that? What? Speak up. Speak for yourself there, brother. Hello, everybody. It's Rick McCoy. How's our signing lady over here? You doing all right? Okay, buddy. So the guy invites me up here. Where was I? So anyway, I was trying to get these scholars. This is all I can do. Can y'all hear me back there? I mean, I'm hoarse, you know. This is it. Come on up here, brother. This is all I can do, man. I've been speaking all day. I've been speaking all night.
You want it out of the crazy house.
Oh, okay. So I'm trying to get out of my house. And so my way out was a scholarship. That was what I was trying to do. And I was playing all these sports and everything. And then I had an amazing disease of alcoholism, which is a tendency to overreact. You know, have you ever done anything? Say, oh my God, how'd I do that? And that's the way I live my life, man. In AA, we have a psychic change, which is a profound alteration in our reaction to life. That's all it is, man. You want to be a deep breather. And so I beat up my coach. All these scouts were there, and you know, I beat my coach up, and he kicked me off the team. I got expelled from school, and I lost everything. They came up, voted on me, and they had a group conscience on me. But they didn't practice the spiritual principles like we do. And they voted, and I had to move. I didn't get to graduate with my high school. I went there 11 and a half years. I graduated Rogers. And then finally, they allowed me to play baseball. And I did pretty good, and I went to an all-star game in Birmingham, Alabama, at Rickwood Field, and I played, and this coach came up to me, and his name was Rudy Abbott, and this is what he told me. He said, man, I done heard all about you. You ever had anybody tell you that? It ain't never good, is it? You don't ever say, what'd you hear? Yeah. And this disease and my behavior always followed me wherever I went. I had a horrible reputation. You know, one of the most precious things you get in Alcoholics Anonymous is your reputation. You better value it. I had a horrible one when I got in here. So I went to Jacksonville State on full scholarship. Man, I loved it. At the time, I wasn't doing any drugs, but I was drinking and I was progressing. Drinking a little bit. And finally, after a junior, all these scouts was going to sign me. And I wanted to play pro ball. And I had a guy introduce me to marijuana. And I started smoking that marijuana within 1 year on them drugs. I was kicked out of college and my scholarship was gone. in my college coach. I was on the field one day, and he offended my manhood. And I was 21 years old going on 11. And I took that baseball bat, and I did a horrible thing. I said, oh, my God, man, he called me an animal. Get out of here. And the scouts wouldn't sign me at all. I lost everything just like that. Can you believe it? Everything I worked for were enthusiasts. And so what I do? He said, I don't ever want to see you again. And so I went all over the country trying to get signed to play professional baseball. And I finally got invited to the Kansas City Royals camp. So I played professional baseball for 2 weeks. And they invited me to Sarasota. And I was down there and I was practicing. And I'm going to share the last at bat. This is the type of alcoholic lack of power. Was my dilemma. God, why did I do that? That's crazy. So my last at bat, I had a guy hand me some Red Bud. Y'all know what Red Bud is? Oh, boy, you get paranoid on Red Bud. Here, don't go to bat. But I did. I was sitting up there in Jacksonville. You know, I love Jacksonville. My son lives there. So I was sitting there, and I was stoned, and he threw that baseball, and I went like that, and I went, wow. Wow. Second pitch, wow. Then third pitch, I said, golly, did you see that? And so baseball career is over. So I didn't know. I didn't know why I drank and drug. Why I had to. But I got on TV, so you and I call it, you'll drink no matter what, you'll drug no matter what. Unless you can find a way. Unless you can find a way to live comfortably. And AA is the most comfortable life I've ever known. And so I spent all these years out there in and out of jails and mental institutions and so forth. And I finally told my wife I wanted to be something, and I went to law school, you know. And before I went to law school, I went to see a doctor, and I told him I had a slight drinking problem. And he asked me, was I an alcoholic? I said, absolutely not. I didn't know what an alcoholic was, did you? And he wrote me a prescription for Librium. Any of y'all ever taken Librium? Love Librium. But you got to read the pages a lot on Librium. And so I went to law school and I graduated without honors. But I graduated. Also, I'm going to tell you, I stand up here today, I've had 5 careers. And I have been a fraud in 4 of them. And I stand up here today, I'm a recovering hypocrite. And I'm also a recovering loser. I tell you this, I have taken the bar exam. Any of y'all want to guess how many times I've taken the bar exam? 4? 6 times. That's 6. I've never heard anybody fail it any, more than that. So, but here I am. I've worked this program, and I've spiritually grown. And God has blessed me with financial recovery. I was able to retire at age 42, and that ain't bad, is it? I don't deserve it, but I'm grateful for it. I can't tell you all the gifts I've experienced from this program. So anyway, I graduated law school and finally went around, and I couldn't practice law because if you're an alcoholic, that's a full-time job. And, we're busy. You heard me about, I'm business. You know what I did? I got in the pharmaceutical business. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I said, George. Oh, God, I loved it. Oh, they sent me cases of drugs. But they wanted me to take them to the doctor. And I thought they wanted me to taste them. And so I was on that merry-go-round of drinking and drugging, going to psychiatrists, going to counseling, going to church. Y'all want to know how many times I've been saved? 3 times. I've been laid hands on. Y'all ever been to that one? I've talked in tongues. Y'all ever talked in tongues? I'm going to tell you something. You do acid, you'll talk in tongues. That's right. So what happened to me? My best friend in pharmaceutical business, we used to drink and take pills. Drink and take pills and destroy our kids' future. The future is bright today. But back then it was dark. I never saw a way out of it. I'm so grateful to God. When you know the problem, if he reveals it to you, then you can find the solution. I always wanted, and you work the solution and you'll go right to the answer. I always want to go to the problem, to the answer. That's called church. 1 and 12. AA is, if you love God, you got to act like it. There got to be a lot of evidence. And so Bruce went in treatment. He said, I need help. My best friend. And he went to AA, and I told Bruce, I said, I want to tell you something. If AA works, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. And Bruce went to AA and found a guy happy, joyous and free, crying because they're so grateful to God. Because the essence of recovery is being free. You say, I'm a free man, do anything I want to do today. You give me one pill, I'm in a basement. One drink, I'm hiding. What are you doing today, hiding? Where are you going? Nowhere. And so they let him out. You know what my company did to Bruce? They fired him. There's not a whole lot of compassion for us, is it? Matter of fact, a lot of people hate us because we hurt so many people. And I never get it. He went to a meeting and his sponsor told him, hang in there, Bruce. I promise you, God will take care of you. Do your job in AA. Build your faith. Hang with us. I promise you, all things work out in Alcoholics Anonymous. Never give up. Pray for faith like a thirsty man in the desert. 2 weeks later, I got a phone call and my buddy Bruce took all his clothes off and hung himself in his mother's house. And you wouldn't believe the things that they said about his funeral. It was unbelievable. And can you imagine what his mother went through? Can you imagine the tragedy of alcoholism? It broke my heart. So I went to a doctor and I told him, I went to see Dr. Al. I said, man, I need help. And he jumped just like that. It's one alcoholic loving another one. And he went and got me help just like that. And he told him he had a waiting room full of patients. And he told his secretary, he said, I want you to tell these patients I'll be back in 2 hours. She said, you can't leave. He said, I'm the boss. And he didn't save my life, but he gave me a great chance. He knew an alcoholic could never do anything tomorrow with it. And you know Dr. Al died drunk. Isn't that something? You see, a lot of these people, I carry their spirit with me. I honor them. I don't know why about so many things, but I am grateful. And I did have a slight deviation. I ended up in mental institution. Any of y'all ever been in mental institution? Chris. That surprised y'all right there, man. That's your boy right there. How's your son there? He's in mental institution. But that's my boy, and he's got potential. Have you ever heard anybody say that you're alcoholic? That's my alcoholic right there. He's got potential. You ever heard that, Joel? You know what that means? Presently, your life sucks. That's what that means, yeah. So I went in the mental institution. I looked good, went in, and it was just terrible. This elderly woman gave me the Bible, told me I need Jesus and all that. I'm 32. I took that Bible and I threw it across that room. I started cussing that elderly lady, and I want to tell you something. Do not ever do that in the mental institution because they're coming. Yeah, they're coming. And they got gloves on there. And gloves are a violation. Something bad's going to happen. I'm telling you, man, they're going in somewhere. But they brought me good news. You know what they did? They brought me a shot. God, I love shot. You want a shot? I just. Yeah, I'm going to stick it in. I'm available. This is a bad shot. Bad shot. You ever had a bad shot? God, I woke up in a room with no doorknob, naked. That's my definition of a bad day. I'm thinking, God, what's wrong with me, God? I hate myself. What's wrong with me? Now I'm going to tell you the miracle that happened. The door opened. Guess who come see me? It wasn't a psychiatrist. It wasn't a lawyer. It wasn't a priest. It was a person in whom my problem had been solved. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you ever tell anybody you're an alcoholic. They'll hide the keys. Tell them you're recovering, I'll call it. That is something very special, man. A recovering alcoholic is a person who has recovered and God himself has given him power to help other people. Matter of fact, his deep, dark past in God's hands will be his greatest asset. And he can take his greatest asset in God's hands, his deep, dark past, and he can avert, which means stop, death and misery for other people. That's a tremendous responsibility in it. Isn't that amazing? Responsibility is a privilege. And so I'm in the middle of this, and they tried to get me to do an inventory, and they put me on methadone, and it was a nightmare. I didn't like it. But I did show up to my meds on time. And I did have leadership skills, you know. And I thought about putting that on my resume. So I had a counselor in there tell me about my coach, and, you know, I hated everybody. I was a victim. I blamed everybody. It took a long time for me to inventory that my troubles were my own making. God didn't do it. It took a while for me to do that. And so I left the mental institution. They let me out at 3, and my family picked me up at 6. You know, I was like a little puppy dog, you know, hoping they'd come. And had my nicest suit on. My kids came. And one of them wanted to go to McDonald's. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. Another wanted to go to Hardee's. And so I'm able to make major decisions. So I pulled in McDonald's. And I pulled in McDonald's, and I looked over there, and guess who I saw? I saw Rudy Abbott, my college coach. And I hadn't seen him in years. Have you ever had in this life, have you ever suddenly realized what God has done for you? Have you ever suddenly realized that's profound? And he's called it coincidences. But now we have an amazing consciousness. And we know where these gifts come from. So I walked over there, and I hadn't done an inventory yet, but I made the best amends that I could to him at the time. And I walked over there, and he did that. And I told him I loved him. I said, you know, I'm so sorry. Thank you. If it weren't for you, I couldn't have gone to college. You gave me everything, and I turned on you. If it weren't for you, I couldn't have gone to law school. I want to thank you. And he looked at me and said, good Lord, man, what happened to you? He said, you know, you look great. He said, I hear you're a highly successful lawyer. You know what I told him? I am. So I couldn't be honest at that time. I had a lot of humiliation. I didn't know if I could recover. You know, this is new territory for me. I had an amazing sponsor, though, that loved me and built me up. He was a forklift. So I ran out to the car, and I had my men's list that I'd made the mental institution. I had my duck. You got a lot of time in there. And I looked at my wife, and I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, Rudy Abbott's in there. My program of Alcoholics Anonymous is working, and I made amends to him, and I want you to know who's on top of that amends list. She said, Rudy Abbott. Then she said something I'm still paying for. She said, I want to know, by God, why I'm not on top of that list. All right? There you go. So I always put the wife on top. My wife's in Al-Anon. You know, if you read the big book, it says nothing to help the alcoholic more than the spouse getting involved and working the same program. You know, the steps are exactly the same in Al-Anon except the 12th step. And we have had a ball together. Now, we've had some tragedies. I mean, I got 3 kids in this disease. I've had my kids go to jail. Matter of fact, I think everybody in my family has been to jail except my wife. And hey, a couple of times she should have went to jail. And I'm going to tell you about one of them. We was at Sea Island, and they invited her to speak, and I was sitting in the front row. They didn't even invite me to speak. So she's up there, and I'll tell you something. It's a little nerve-wracking when your wife is up there telling a story, because you don't know what she's going to say. You say, I don't remember that. But it happened, didn't it? So she sat up there. There was over 500 people in that group. My wife told everybody in that group that at one time I got drunk and pulled out a pistol and cocked it and put it to her head. And then she told the whole group she took it away from me and pistol whipped my ass. Now that's bad for your self-esteem, isn't it? Right there, man. God almighty, can't you keep that, you know, secret? I'm going to tell you something. I remember that day. And I remember laying on the ground. And my first thought was, God, I took way too much Ativan. God, I was shocked, man. So, you know, I'm so grateful I didn't shoot my wife. I pulled a gun on my father. I'm so grateful. Thank you, God. So what's my life like now? My company fired me. They hate alcoholics. But God loves them. And they underestimated God, and they told me, you're blackballed. You'll never get in this pharmaceutical business again. You write that down. But they underestimated God, didn't they? And I went and whined to my sponsor. He said, well, I don't care about them. Your dependence is never, never on people. Your dependence and your recovery is based on your relationship with God. Work on that. Do your job in AA. And I said, God, you know, what's the money step? Yeah, I ain't got no money. But I had hope in AA, and that's all you need. And I hung in there, and they finally rehired me. And they shipped me to Omaha, Nebraska. And I lost everything I had, and I lived in a halfway house in Omaha, Nebraska. And I remember I was sitting there crying. I lost my family. I was missing my kids. I had this big home and swimming pool. I had a lot of material things. And I'll never forget, in a halfway house, there was a kid, 19 years old, and he looked at me, and this is what he told me. 19 years old, you never know who helps you if you listen and you're conscious and you're aware. And I'll never forget what this kid said. He said, you know, Rick, greatest thing God ever did for me is put me in Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, I have never fit in that world, and I still don't fit in that world. I'm different mentally, and I'm different bodily from everybody else, but I fit in AA. And I finally have true friends today, and I have a fellowship, and I have insurance on my car, and I have a car, and I'm going to college. He said, I'm a free man. I've accomplished more in a year than I have my whole lifetime. That's what this 19-year-old kid said. And that helped me. I thought, yeah, he's right. You see, I ain't suffering anymore. And so I got real active in AA, and I got a sponsor, and I followed his lead. He showed me how to work these transformative steps. And I did step one, and I was convinced of step two, and then I was convinced of step three, and then I got on my knees. And my life really, really changed when I did step four. And I pray that you'll do that. And I finally admitted to God, myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. And when I wrote all the wrongs that I did to my mother, and all the wrongs that I did to my kids, and all the wrongs that I did to my father, and my wife, and all these wrongs, and the exact nature of it, and I swallowed that, I never, ever looked at my kids the same ever again. That changed me. That was the beginning of my spiritual awakening. Then I got on my knees in 6 and 7. I asked God to help me. I can't change. I ain't spent 2 minutes on my character defect. And then I made a list of all the people I'd harmed. And I went and did my job in AA directly. I went directly and I made amends. I went all over. I marked them off one at a time. And I paid all the money back. You know why I did that? Because I had to. People all the time say, my God, man, why'd you do all that? I had to. I was willing to go to any length. I had a great teacher. So what's it been like in recovery? Maybe the next 10 minutes and I'll close. I have 4 boys. The first 2 boys that I had, I was stoned, and I missed their birth. You know, I was stoned and drunk at my brother's funeral, and I was drunk at my sister's wedding. And I'm the same guy that missed so many Christmases. Have you ever woke up on Christmas Day and your present still wrapped? And I was able to cut the cord on the last 2. And then my last baby was born on my AA birthday. That ain't bad either. Y'all know the odds of that? It's 1 in 365. And then I went back to my college coach. And I made amends, and I paid money because I destroyed a dormitory. And the people I couldn't see, I wrote an honest letter. And my coach wouldn't have anything to do with me for 8 years, and then he picked up the phone, and he talked to me. And he invited me back to the college. And so I went back to the college. It was really profound. And guess what I found out? It's amazing how God turns things 180 degrees, man. I wouldn't trade places with anybody on this earth, man. All I ever wanted was a purposeful life. I found out his only son is in prison. They named the stadium after him, and I was able to make amends. And I carried my amends list wherever I go. It's the key to my future. And you wouldn't believe how many ball players looked at me and said, God, I can't believe you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Then I went back to my fraternity. We had a reunion, and I made amends after amends. Then we had a class reunion. I went back, and I made amends after amends. And I sponsored a guy named Tony, and he was paralyzed from the chest down. That's why I admire y'all. I admire anybody that's overcome so many things. And he used to call me, and he said, "Would you take your shoes off and walk on the grass and describe it to me?" He had 13 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, and he spoke at Joe Wheeler. And so I went to support him, and I listened to him giving his talk, and then we went and ate catfish, and I looked over there, and there was my high school coach that I hadn't seen probably in 30 years. And so I waited till he got through eating, and he came out, and I looked at him, and I said, "Coach Willis, I said, I need to make amends to you. I'm a recovering alcoholic." You know what he told me? He said, "That don't surprise me." He said, "But let me tell you this," and I have made hundreds of amends. Some I can't do, though I'd go to prison. And some, if I did it, it would injure them or others. But there's tons that I can do. In AA, we focus on what can we do. He said, "Why don't you go make amends to the coach you beat up? He lives right down the street there." God, I got a little nervous. I prayed. I did my job. I went there the next day, and I knocked on the door. I hadn't seen him in 30 years. And he opened the door, and he goes like that, "Alcoholism." And he wouldn't let me in. And I told him, he said, "Why are you here?" I said, "I tell you, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I am in recovery. And it's the greatest thing God ever did for me." He said, "Come right in." He invited me in the house. And I made amends to him. And he held me, and we cried together. And this is what he told me. You know, the big book says 90% of the time the unexpected happens. It's the most miraculous thing if you experience it. You'll be amazed before you're halfway through. He told me, he said, "You know, I've been a burdened man for 30 years. I always felt like I cost you all those scholarships. And today you gave me a beautiful gift." And to me, that's a remarkable thing about Alcoholics Anonymous. The last two things, where are my things? I brought y'all a gift. Don't y'all have this right here? I'll tell you two quick stories. In Alcoholics Anonymous, my sponsor, he taught me to do a gratitude list. I'm going to leave these. These are laminated. These are for you. And on the back, right out of the big book, is the AA way. It's the inventory that we do every night in step 11. If anybody wants to know God's will, that's the closest you can get right there. That's the inventory if you do it every night. Then you have the third step prayer on awakening. And I do a gratitude list every day. My sponsor did it for 38 years. Good enough for me, man. His sponsor did it for 48 years. I've done it for almost 29 years. Have you ever done anything for somebody and they don't thank you for it? That's the way God is. Have you ever inventoried all the blessings? You know, we ought to have a topic. You ever heard anybody say, "Anybody want to drink today?" Y'all say, "Any miracles in here today?" Can you believe we're here? Can you believe God blessed us? Can you believe that He gave us a new life after all we did? And so I do a gratitude list every day. Thank you, God, for God. Thank you. Thank you, I have a meaningful life. Thank you for Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon. Thank you for recovery. Thank you that my bills are paid. Thank you, I have a fellowship. Thank you, I have a meaningful life. Thank you, I have health. And I go on and on and on every day. And I put bad on there, too. You know, thank you, God, my kid got arrested. Thank you, God, I lost my retirement. Where are the zeros? Because, and my sponsor buried both his boys, and he never wavered. Because the miracle is in Alcoholics Anonymous, the program will never, ever let you down. You always come out of it happy, joyous, and free. And even if trouble comes, we try our best to cheerfully capitalize it to prove God's omnipotence. I'm almost through, friend. This is real important. I know you're busy. So the last thing, I did hospice, and I'm going to end with this. I promise you. I'm losing. Any of y'all familiar with hospice?
Oh, yeah.
You have clarity of thought when you're dying. And I did it for 8 years, man. It's the most beautiful thing. If you ever watched anybody pass to the afterlife, it's really the most spiritual thing that I've ever experienced. I learned in hospice all of dying is spiritual. Just like in AA, you learn all of living is spiritual. And so I had all these patients, and I had one patient. This is the last thing. His name was Don Cook. He was a Navy cook, fighter pilot, you know, in the Navy. And we shared, and he looked at me, and he wanted to know. He said, that's him calling.
That's him calling.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Man. And so he wanted to know. He said, what religion are you? I said, I'm not. Come on. He said, what religion are you? I said, I'm not. I'm just, and I don't knock it. I want a part of it. I ain't believed it worked for me. But God himself has entered my heart and lives in here in a way which is indeed miraculous. He lives right here, and I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is what Don told me. He said, you know, he said, I checked myself into this nursing home because I wanted to meet God sober. He said, I didn't want to die drunk. I wanted to meet God sober. He said, it's the greatest thing that he'd ever did. So we shared a little bit. And a week before he died, he called me and he had a using dream. And he called me up there and he was crying because sobriety is the most important thing for an alcoholic, isn't it? I'm telling you, can you imagine being stoned again? Sobriety is the most important thing for an alcoholic. And I told him, I said, it's just a dream. He said, Rick, I want to meet God sober. A week later, he lapsed into a coma. I went up there, and we were in the room. All of a sudden, he lifted up, and he said, Rick, come here. Come here. He said, I want you to know. I want you to tell people. He said, I have no fear of dying. He said, I'm fixing to meet God sober. It's the greatest gift he ever did for me. I'm fixing to meet God sober. And what I learned and what he taught me, and he died that night. And when I go put flowers on my family's grave in Sheffield, Alabama, and when my brother's up there, and my sister's up there, and my father's up there, and all my family's up there, and they're buried there, and I put flowers on their tombstone. Have you ever seen on the tombstone? Have you ever seen the day you was born and the day you died? What's in the middle?
Dash.
And you know what that is?
It's life.
It's life. And it's short. And thank God he's letting us live again. So I love you. That's all I got.
Wow. Thank you, Rick. You sure you're from Alabama, man? Seems like I know you, man, for so long. You know what I mean? You know how you hear somebody tell a story, you go, man, I know that guy. And that is true, though. You know, it's funny. You know, we come in. I never met Rick, obviously, before. But, man, after hearing this story, I thought, man, you know, I know that man. You know what I mean? That's the commonality we all have in this program here. It's really a beautiful thing. Great story, man. Thank you for inspiration that you shared with us tonight. We're going to ask you to come on back up, man. We got a little token of appreciation we want to share. I'm going to let Chris pass that on to you.
Golden microphone.
You know, stop.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, God bless you.
And let's give Rick another round of applause.
Yeah. Amen.
We were blessed to have him in my home group today for doing the workshop, and we gave him a little token of appreciation earlier this afternoon, and I'm honored to do that again tonight. And for Zone 13G, we kind of had a little snafu again, George, on the gift, but I have this at home, and it means a lot to me. And Sister Ignatia, anybody out here know who Sister Ignatia is? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Sister Ignatia. If it wasn't for non-alcoholic people, we wouldn't be here. She gave out the saint medallions to the drunks that used to come in Akron City Hospital. And if they drank again, she'd go back to their house and get them back from them. You didn't want an earful from Sister Ignatia, I promise you. So I had two of these left in my house. So I'm telling you, Rick, if you ever drink again, I'm coming to get you. You don't want an earful of me either. But my friend Larry Scott gave me this. He got it. And what it is, it's titled across the top. If you can see, it's titled, Open the Door with the 164. And it is the first 164 pages of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous condensed into this spot right here. Starting with War Fever Ran High and Bill Wilson's story, ending with May God Bless You and Keep You Until Then. With a magnifying glass, you can read it. If you're that much of an AA nerd, get you one. Read it. But I'm glad and gifted to give this to Rick, and I hope maybe you put it on your wall and remember.
I will. Thank
Amen,
you,
brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not kidding either, man. You got to have a magnifying glass. It looks like a blank page, doesn't it, Rick? But it actually is little tiny, tiny, tiny little letters on there. And it is the first 164 pages on that one page right there. I guess if anybody wants one of these, Rick, they just can grab one off the table up here. I'll put these on the table. And after the meeting, you can just come up and grab one. Welcome. So glad you're here tonight. Hope you will come back and to another meeting and come try this again, okay? And to the visitors again, thank y'all for being here. And to everybody that came out tonight, we can't thank y'all enough. It was an amazing evening, and having your presence here made it all that much better. And to the sign language interpreters, we appreciate you as well. Thank you so much for coming out. Give them a hand of applause.